Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, giving them a distinctively biblical worldview perspective using our Christian curriculum project, which we provide for families on our website, generations.org. So keep in mind that we must give our children a radical, Christ-centered, biblical worldview-founded form of education. Friends, we've got to bring the Word of God and integrate it into every single subject on every single page and be sure that our children are seeing things from a biblical perspective, whether they're studying world history, American history, literature, or what have you. That's why we've provided the 8th through 12th grade curriculum available on our website, generations.org, for Christian schools, for Christian discipleship centers, and of course for Christian homeschools. For those of you who want a distinctively Christian worldview perspective, finally a Christian worldview curriculum available from the Generations Ministry at generations.org. Well, it's interesting, Steve, as we review history, we draw God into it because he's totally sovereign over everything that happens. God is behind it all. Without God, we have a purely naturalistic universe in which the metaphysic is deterministic or indeterministic, but it's a chance universe in which things just sort of happen. And that's the presumption behind most history courses that don't refer to God's providence on every page. It doesn't say God did that and doesn't refer to God as the source of all events.
I like in Daniel 1 when it opens up, the Lord gave Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't just come in and take them. The Lord gave them over.
That's the way to read history, and that's the way to read the news. And so, as I did the Worldview in 5 minutes on Monday for Tuesday's broadcast, two stories came out of California. It's interesting. Two stories right neck and neck. The governor of the state of California announced an emergency proclamation affecting multiple counties around Santa Rosa, California, for 44,000 acres consumed by fire, 1,500 structures, one of the very worst fires in terms of property damage in the history of the state of California. And then the very next story, Jerry Brown also signed a bill that would levy a $1,000 fine and a year in jail against anyone who knowingly uses the wrong pronoun to address a man who wants to play the part of a woman, and vice versa. So that was the news that I covered. It's interesting, isn't it, that the very worst fires are hitting the state of California right now, and the governor of California just signed a bill in which transgenderism is endorsed. An obvious sin, as described by the Word of God, is being promoted by the highest forces, the highest government authority in the land of California, and at the same time, the very worst fire. Now, you know, it's interesting. A couple of years ago, would have been 4 or 5 years ago, Colorado also had the worst fires in our history.
Yeah.
In terms of property damage. Worst fires and worst floods.
Yeah.
And we had the worst legislature.
Yes, we did.
In the history of the state of Colorado. And do you remember that we brought this out? We said, oh, wow, that's interesting. The worst fires, the worst floods, and the worst legislature. In fact, the legislators, one legislator was performing a homosexual act on the front page of the Denver Post.
Yeah. And the reaction was, Kevin, you're nuts.
Yeah. When I mentioned that. And all I said was, is there a connection?
Yeah.
Is there a connection? That's all I asked. Might there be a connection? Well, the first question I asked was, is there a God?
Yeah.
And the second question I asked was, is there a connection? Now, of course, the liberal media says no and no. So they've answered it. But I was just wondering if anybody else had a conscience. That's all. I was just wondering if anybody had a conscience. That if there was even a modicum of the fear of God anywhere. That's all I was doing. Now, again, we're very careful not to say that this fire, this flood is due to this sin. We don't do a one-to-one connection. We don't do that, friends. We haven't done that. But all we're saying is there a God in the heavens, and does he ever make a connection between the sin of Sodom and the destruction of Sodom? That's all we're asking. Now, he does.
Obviously.
He does, in the case of Sodom.
Yes.
But we're asking the question in terms of the state of Colorado and the state of California. Worst fires? And worst governor signing the worst bill in the history of California, almost. Is there a connection? That's all we're asking. Is there a connection? And, of course, those who are opposing this message usually use this as fodder against the program. Because there aren't that many pastors, I guess, that bring this out. I can't imagine why they would want to go after this radio program, because, after all, we have a very small audience.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, this is an indication the systems are burning down. That's right. The systems are burning down. Sexuality is burning out. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sexuality is burning out. Our socioeconomic systems are busting apart. And insanity is the rule of the day in the state of California. Political correctness in corporations and politics and media and the streets. Gender correct language enforced by the state of California is destroying the right to free speech. Meanwhile, we need safe spaces on college campuses. We're walking on eggshells constantly, always about 2 minutes away from getting fired for stupid things. This is the total breakdown. And the fires in the state of California are a good picture or a metaphor of what is going on across the nation today. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio today. Broadcasting from the Eastern Plains of Colorado as we see the breakdown of Western civilization as we sit on the very frontier of Western civilization and the breakdown of Western civilization in the state of Colorado. Now, I take this next article from the Daily Beast. And, you know, here they are talking about college kids. The craziest demands of college kids.
Can they get any crazier? So let's take a look.
They don't want no stinking grades. They don't not want no stinking Shakespeare and certain students of certain stripes. They want to abolish English classes which feature white male poets. Now, that includes Shakespeare. That includes Spencer, John Donne, William Wordsworth, and so forth, because they're white men. Now, here's what's going on. What's going on is... You know, the Spanish Empire hasn't produced a lot of decent literature lately. Do you know why? Because they don't exist.
Yeah.
That's why, okay?
Yeah.
They actually came out with Don Quixote, which is one of the biggest classics ever.
Right.
Sold more copies than any book but the Bible and maybe the Quran. So, but that was like 400 years ago. Okay.
Right.
These great empires are done. Is that clear? These great empires are dead. We are going through a period of time like the fall of the Roman Empire, friends, in which the Spanish, the French, the English, and the American empires are done. And that's why, of course, what we do is we present a curriculum that is based in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdoms of men. We're not reviving the dead works of dead empires. That's not our focus. Because, friends, this is just what is going on. I know people want to continue to glorify the works of the great writers of the great empires. But the zeitgeist is going the wrong direction, my friends. This stuff is coming down. Now, we would say we want to publish the works of guys like Athanasius and Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. And we do. And some of them were, they were most likely men of slightly darker hue.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we like their stuff. We also like John Bunyan, Thomas Akempis, and others. And so that's what we produce in our great Christian classics. People wonder why we're doing great Christian classics, because the kingdom of God doesn't go anywhere. It just continues on. And the kingdoms of men, they rise and fall, and that's what's going on, okay? So but anyway, these folks want to abolish English classes that feature white male poets. They also want to implement segregated safe spaces. They used to have safe spaces on buses for certain races.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
And that's what the article says. Yeah. In another age, such demands would have been ridiculed as racist. Imagine white students seeking to create a separate area for whites alone. This effort would be denounced on both moral and legal grounds. There's this thing called the Civil Rights Act. This is the Daily Beast speaking of the silliness of all these safe spaces. At the University of Arizona, the marginalized students, a coalition of self-described oppressed students, including the Latino Student Association, Black student, Asian student, LGBT students, they all want safe spaces for each unique identity group. So apparently the Asian students want protection from the LGBTs. The LGBTs want protection from the Latinos. The Latinos want protection from the Native American Student Association, and so forth. So they want safe spaces from each other. Unique identity groups want unique safe spaces at the University of Arizona.
Wow.
See, again, what is this but the deconstruction of an entire republic? What happened was America was the great melting pot, and the only possibility of melting pot existing was the unity that could have come by Christ, because Jesus is the only one that can break down middle walls of partition between cultures, Jews and Gentiles, Asians and Africans and so forth.
Yeah, why not make just one big safe space for the whole campus, and then everybody could say what they want anywhere? That would be cheaper.
Well, it would be cheaper, but they all have their own culture.
That's true.
And they want to be safe from each other.
Yeah. So we're the great salad bowl.
The point being that this whole multiculturalism is imploding on itself.
Yeah.
Why? Because without Christ, without Jesus, the great reconciler, who's our peace, friends, there is no horizontal peace between people. Oh, here's one more thing that they're requiring. Now, these student demands are happening in all University of Chicago. I've seen at least six or seven lists, but I think it's most of the major universities. They get these people crowded into the administration areas with their list of demands. We demand this. Now, most of them tend to be written with bad grammar.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. So we don't want any more English classes.
They also don't want no more stinking cross-ethnic food, song, dance, and haircuts. This is according to the Daily Beast article. At Oberlin College, Asian students complained that the general Tso's chicken wasn't up to their standards. A delicious irony given the meal was actually standardized in America as a way to introduce Americans to Asian food. But nothing compares with Bonita Tyndale, the irate San Francisco University student who attacked a white man. She attacked a white man because she objected to his dreadlocks. It's my culture, Tyndale explained.
This is insanity.
Yeah, it is insanity. Yeah. Yeah. So they also want to get rid of grades and tests at Johns Hopkins University, which is no mean university.
Wow.
Do you agree with that?
Johns Hopkins?
Johns Hopkins is no mean university.
Yeah.
And for those of you who haven't studied English language.
That's like upper crust.
That means it's no low class place.
Right.
Okay. Johns Hopkins University administrators should not count first semester freshman grades. That's what they're asking for. The demands of the students is that you ignore the first semester freshman grades. And 1,300 Oberlin students signed a petition calling on the college to make C the lowest possible grade, such that no student would be deemed below average. It's just coming along and supporting the snowflakeism and the self-esteem is very important in American colleges, American universities. 1,300 students signed this petition saying, okay, all we want, the lowest grade we want is a C.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if we fail, we want a C I don't want to be below average.
That's a lot of students at Oberlin.
Yeah.
1,300 students signed a petition calling on the college to make C the lowest possible grade. According to the article, professors and administrators are increasingly caving to the students' demands out of fear for their own job security. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. The whole system's getting shakier and shakier and shakier. It's like the French Revolution. The whole thing's going to come down around its ears.
Yeah. It reminds us of I think we did this story. It's been a while back. It might have been me and Bill. But the liberal professor saying that he is now afraid of the students that he has taught his own philosophy.
Oh, like, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They're running from the students because the inmates are officially running the facility now. You know, it's interesting. These foolish young people are not submitting themselves to wisdom. Right. And, you know, I think almost every single proverb in the book of Proverbs addresses these kids.
They're just buzzing in my head right now.
Yeah. They're breaking every one of them.
Yeah.
They're breaking every... The book of Proverbs, of course, is God's basic instruction on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's why our Bible study guides in the book of Proverbs for our kids. We encourage families to be sure that you teach your kids. Please be sure you teach your kids basic wisdom. Otherwise, they're going to turn into these kids.
Yeah, you
don't want that. They're the snowflakes that are breaking every single proverb, violating every proverb relating to the scoffer, the fool, and all the others in the book of Proverbs. God have mercy on these people. And they're so revolutionary as well, Steve, that there's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. In other words, they think they're wise in their own eyes. They're young people. The revolutionaries are always this way, whether it was the Marxist revolutionaries of the 1950s and 1960s or the crazy revolutionaries of the present day that have given way to total irrationalism. There's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes. They have not been washed from their own filthiness. In other words, they see all the sins of everybody else. Yeah. And they're always out on the warpath to correct all of the injustices in Black Lives Matters and all the other injustices that are going on in the world, but they're not dealing with the filthiness of their own lives, their own fornication, their own drunkenness, their own drug habits, their own dishonor of mothers and fathers, their refusal to worship the true and living God, their refusal to fear and reverence God, their violation of the third commandment, taking God's name in vain, etc., etc. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, and yet they're not washed from their own filthiness. There's a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth. In other words, what they're doing is they're going to break down these institutions. They're burning them down around them. They're just burning down the institutions, the once good institutions that offered something of a semblance of education, knowledge. Instead, we get people who are barely able to spell their own name, and their grammar errors throughout their demands. Almost like the Animal Farm, you know, with the big, thick crayon saying, we want more fed for us.
Yeah.
You know, we want
more oats.
We want more oats. Give me more oats. You know, the Animal Farm approach to revolution is ultimately going to break down education and everything else as well in our economic systems.
Yeah, they're sitting on a limb that they're sawing off of the tree. And then complaining about it as they fall.
Demands. They're demanding. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Pride.
Yeah.
That means, hey, I'm the standard of all that is right, and I'm going to clear up all of the evil off the earth, but I'm not washed from my own filthiness either, but so what? I'm demanding stuff. I will demand stuff. I've got 50 demands I'm giving to the administration of this college. Did you hear about the 10 demands for white people issued by the co-founder of Black Lives Matter? Did you see that?
Chanel Helm or something like
that?
Yeah.
She issued 10 demands for white people. And this would have been in August.
Yeah.
White people, if you don't have any descendants, will your property to black or brown family, preferably one that lives in generational poverty. White people, if you're inheriting property you intend to sell upon acceptance, give it to a black or brown family. You're bound to make that money in some other white privileged way. If you are a developer or realty owner of multifamily housing, build a sustainable complex in black or brown neighborhood and let black and brown people live in it for free. White people, if you can afford to downsize, give up the home you own to a black or brown family, preferably a family of generational poverty. White people, if any of the people you intend to leave your property to are racists, and then she has a foul language there, change the will and will your property to a black or brown family, and so forth and so on. Well, now let's analyze these demands for just a second. You know, voluntarily giving up your home to somebody may not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
No, voluntarily doing it may not be a bad idea. I wouldn't suggest you give up your home to the wicked, who use foul language and refuse to fear God, for example.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest you do that. But here's another take on this. You know, the Bible does encourage voluntary charity. And so maybe she's onto something here. Now, it's not onto the forced redistribution of the wealth, which is what has happened since roughly, I think the first bill that encouraged the forced redistribution of wealth was somewhere around 1867. So welfare in America began somewhere on 1867. The President Andrew Johnson vetoed a couple of bills that required a forced redistribution of the wealth. But since 1867, since Marx encouraged the redistribution of the wealth in the 1840s, yeah, forced redistribution of the wealth has been the name of the game.
For 150 years.
Yeah.
How's it working for us?
Well, yeah. Let's not even go there for just a moment.
Yeah.
All we're saying is that voluntary charity, where a man provides 3.33% of his income on a annual basis, 10% every third year, is the poor tithe, mm-hmm. as encouraged by Scripture, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea. The voluntary edge of the fields, allowing for the poor to glean the edge of the fields, that's a good idea. Now, it tends to be local, relational, and voluntary, but it's God's way of doing things. But here's the one beef I have here with Black Lives Matter.
Just one?
Encouraging redistribution of private property to blacks and brown people. And that is that wealthy blacks and wealthy whites should both think in terms of charity.
Yeah.
See, this idea that only whites should be generous and ready to share, that's kind of racist.
Yeah.
Don't you think? She's being a racist. That would be assuming that wealthy blacks are greedy and ungenerous, and that's not very nice. I don't think it's nice to assume that blacks must be ungenerous and greedy. I don't think that's right for her to say that or to assume that.
Yeah, and she's left out Native Americans and Asians.
Well, yeah. Them
besides
too.
Besides that, yeah.
Them too. Everybody should be generous.
Right.
You had a passage there that you brought up, I think it was 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we should encourage the wealthy to be generous.
Yeah. Yeah, and be generous in good works and be generous with their wealth and not to hoard it and things like that. Yeah.
Well, again, my friends, let me just qualify some of these things. Let's be very, very careful about the Marxist reference to white privilege. The whole idea that there has got to be equal opportunity enforced by government for poor groups is fraught with error. Let's be very careful with this. What does the Word of God say concerning these things? Well, it does say the poor you will always have with you. That's Jesus. So Jesus definitively said there will be the poor and the rich, and it's God who gives us the power to be rich. That according to God's word. So keep that in mind as well. Now, forced monopolies on the part of the state are wrong. That is, government offering favorability to one side or the other is wrong. That's why governments should not pay for colleges. Why? Because when governments pay for college, that's right, government is giving the edge to one group over another. Governments ought not to do that. Governments ought not to pay anything for college, university, K-12 schools. The governments should stay out of the business of education and economics as well. Governments should stay out of the business of favorable tariffs, et cetera, which, by the way, the governments got into in the 1820s and 1830s and 1840s, which was one of the factors that affected the Civil War, because by the time you come to the Civil War, roughly 85% of the taxes, the tariffs, were paid for by the South, because the South was the one exporting most of the cotton and so forth. So favorable tariffs, favorability in the area of economics, favorability in terms of encouraging monopolies, favorability in terms of education, universities, and so forth. Wrong. Governments should not be playing favorites. Governments have the responsibility to go after murderers and thieves. They're to hang the murderer on Saturday after a trial. Where there's been two or three witnesses and so forth. And so that's what governments are to do. So the Marxist idea of stirring up white privilege and class envy, a huge problem. And by the way, the assumption that college equals success, you know, this is the assumption. We need to get everybody into college. We need to get all the different poverty groups, the colors, those that are somewhat disenfranchised, into college, because that's going to solve the problem, friends. That's assuming that you take politically correct 101, politically correct 102, politically correct 301 and 302 and 304, and learn how to write lists of demands with really bad grammar, that somehow you've got a good college education. I don't think that's true anymore.
No.
Oh, man. The college education of today is like the high school education of the 1970s.
That's why it's taking 6 years on the average to get a degree.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. The assumption that somehow college, an equal opportunity to college, is going to solve the problem. No. Success is typically a development of character. It's much like what Martin Luther King said when he said, "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character."
Yeah, I don't think Chanel Helm read that.
Character is what's important, and character is even more besmirched when class envy is being encouraged. What's that going to do to character? Class envy. Redistribute wealth, steal from the rich, give to the poor, steal from the rich, give to the poor. How's that worked out over the last 40 years since Lyndon B. Johnson's not-so-great society? Not well. Not well at all.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, remember back in the 1960s, there were only some 15% of little children in these inner city communities born without fathers. Now it's 72% born without fathers. What do you think? Think character matters? Do you think the character of young men who refuse to marry the women they've impregnated, you think that matters? Is that going to have an incredibly profound effect upon the future of some 72% of inner city children, who are many of them born amongst some of these minority communities? Friends, 72% of these kids are born without fathers, up from some 15% back in 1960. And that thanks to Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society program of welfare. No, we need to abolish all welfare. We need to get rid of all of the redistribution of the wealth and impose financial responsibility. That's what needs to happen. And without that, and without the gospel, without somehow some miraculous thing happening through the preaching of the word of God and the gospel to these communities where faith is beginning to be seen in these communities, and men begin to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And men will repent of their sins of impregnating young women outside of the bonds of wedlock. And where we begin to see the repentance of young men that going to work and getting a job and stop not complaining, but just working with their hands, that which is good, such that 60-70% of these communities are not put in prisons. Oh, friends, when there's something of a revival of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the rejection of welfare, where tens of millions of these people in the inner cities say, "We're not taking welfare anymore. Welfare is a sin. It's a redistribution of wealth. It's stealing from my neighbor. I'll take a little voluntary charity at points to get me over a hard spot in my life, but I'm not going to steal from others to redistribute to me." When we begin to see a repentance in these communities of stealing, a repentance of breaking the seventh commandment, of repentance from fornication and other sins, then we're going to start to see something of a biblical character develop. And my guess is that the problem of poverty will be something taken care of. Now, again, we'll never eliminate it off the earth, but the gospel of Jesus Christ will accomplish great things in the lives of these people. Friends, I would encourage you to my book, Freedom, which brings out the biblical approach to the issue of poverty, what to do with charity. You want the biblical answers to these problems? Go to the Bible. Now, I summarize the biblical approach to what governments need to do to maintain freedom and God's law and God's system of righteousness and justice in the civil sphere. You want to know what God says, and you're tired of listening to what Black Lives Matter say, or what Sojourners say, or what all of the various theories of the Marxists have told us in the universities and K-12 schools for the last 100 years. If you'd like to know what the Bible says, I'd encourage you to my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. We also have a study guide for 12th graders for that very book, Freedom, available at our website. So if you have high school kids, 10th, 11th, 12th grade high school kids, where you want to give them a biblical approach to history and a biblical approach to the civil magistrate, be sure to get Freedom with the study guide at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve on in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Wednesday, October 18th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. More than 270 were killed and 300 people injured in Mogadishu, Somalia, Africa on Saturday in a double truck bombing that officials called one of the deadliest attacks to hit the capital since the Islamic insurgency began in 2007, reports the New York Times. The Associated Press quoted one nurse as saying staff members had seen, quote, unspeakable horrors, unquote, in a hospital where the smell of blood was strong. Psalm 37:9 says, "For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." North Korea warned that a, quote, nuclear war may break any moment, unquote, reports Fox News. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, said that North Korea was blowing a lot of hot air.
This is propaganda from the North Koreans. They're trying to intimidate those Americans who are capable of being intimidated, and unfortunately there are a large number of them. The threat in the region is North Korea's nuclear weapons program. That's what we've been grappling with unsuccessfully for 25 years. The idea that somehow we're responsible for it really is ludicrous.
The tech giant Apple removed a pro-life prayer app from its app store following backlash from pro-abortion advocates. Just another example of bias against Christian groups, reports Life News. Human Coalition's app, still available on the Google Play Store, displays a list of prayer requests, such as, quote, someone considering abortion in Dallas, Texas, unquote. When users signal with a swipe of their thumb that they've prayed for the situation, the app updates a daily tally of prayers. You can object by calling Apple at 408-996-1010. Tully and Chibogen, the grandson of evangelist Billy Graham, is openly regretting his transgressions after he lost his church and wife to an adultery scandal 2 years ago, reports the Christian Post. In a recent blog post, Chibogen admits he, quote, selfishly wrecked, unquote, his life. Now remarried, he wrote, quote, God gifted me with a family to care for, people to love, a high calling, a life-giving message, and a large platform to shout it from, and I blew it, unquote. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. While the A&E Duck Dynasty show has ended, the 71-year-old patriarch Phil Robertson is gearing up to star in a new politically incorrect show called In the Woods with Phil. It will air on a $99 per year digital service called CRTV. In 2013, Robertson was suspended from appearing on A&E when he spoke to GQ and called homosexuality a sin. According to Robertson, the media is ashamed of what he calls American values. He used gender as an example, telling The Hollywood Reporter, quote, most media are ashamed of America, its values, and just has an aversion to plain old common sense. What did I hear today? That a girl can now be a Boy Scout? The name is Boy Scout. How hard is that to understand? Unquote. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas has documented more bias at the New York Times in his latest hidden camera expose. New York Times senior homepage editor Des Shu, who is based in London, admits to the paper's left-leaning bias.
Our main stories are supposed to be objective. It's very difficult in this day and age to do that.
Why?
When you have something like a shark story, it's hard to portray, for instance, the president in a unbiased light when the words that are coming out of his mouth are apologetic toward white supremacists, which is what they were. I feel like Trump is just sort of an idiot in a lot of ways, just an oblivious idiot. I think one of the things that maybe journalists were thinking about is if we write about him, about how insanely crazy he is and ludicrous his policies are, then maybe people will read it and be like, oh wow, we should vote for him.
She also attacks Vice President Mike Pence, implying that his Christian beliefs make him unfit to lead.
If you're a Christian, then, Pence becomes president. I think it's horrible. I think they need possible worse than Trump. He's extremely religious.
Republican Roy Moore, known as the Ten Commandments judge, is surprisingly tied at 42% with Democrat Doug Jones in the U.S. Senate race set for December 12th in Deep Red, Alabama, reports Fox News. Moore's campaign prays that Christians across the country will get involved in his race. Elite British Special Forces snipers shot dead two Muslim terrorists who were holding knives to the throats of a Christian father and son following their refusal to convert to Islam near Mosul, Iraq, reports Christian Today. The event took place in July following the fall of Mosul, although details of it only began to emerge last week. Christians who refused to convert to Islam were being beheaded, according to the Daily Star. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, October 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.